You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
Now the Backstreet Boys are all grown up with their own ability.
Cue the outrage.
We are the pop culture professors.
Settle down now.
Smart people, dumb topics forever.
Welcome. We are We Stand Together.
Mm-hmm. You know this is a pop culture academic symposium.
And you know that we're the pop culture professors. We're smart people. Mm-hmm. And we're talking dumb topics.
Dumb topics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we said we're the professors of pop culture. What does that mean? You may be wondering. Have they taught courses at a college level? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have.
I've taught two classes today.
But do we also get each other almost exclusively Dawson's Creek themed gifts for birthdays and holidays?
Yes. The exception being Grey's Anatomy and One Tree Hill.
Sure. You know.
Yeah.
You can't just be one note, but you can be three.
three very similar notes on a very tiny piano.
So the show is called We Stand Together, and you know, Stan means to be an obsessive fan of. So Lauren, what are you standing this week?
I am standing the brand new Netflix documentary Disclosure that is all about trans representation, and shout out to friend of the show Zeke Smith, who gives a very eloquent and intelligent
he was amazing
interview, and I be still my beating heart. I was so proud of to see my friend looking so smart and intelligent, and honestly very hot. He looked very he looked hot.
That's what I was
he looked good, that outfit. But it's,
I didn't really hear what he said.
Well,
but he looked great.
You put on a blazer like that and how are you supposed to listen? No, it was so moving. I was like, for anyone who hasn't watched Disclosure, please watch it. Like, as soon as you finish this episode, the next thing you have to do is go watch Disclosure. It is heart-wrenching and it is hard, and it gave me so much to think about, especially like looping back to this whole educator thing. Like, it gave me a lot to think about what I can do differently in my classroom and with my students to help, you know, to help tell these amazing and incredible stories of beautiful trans lives, you know, not just trans trauma. Anyways, I don't want to spoil the documentary for you. Go watch it. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed. And I love Laverne Cox. And I just found out, like moments before we started recording, Zeke texted me to say that he finally told Laverne that we had sat a few rows away from Laverne at Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And we were so excited to be close to Laverne. We kept talking about it. And he finally told her. And she was excited, and I'm excited that she was excited. Anyways, this is, I don't know, I'm off track. What are you standing this week, Caitlin?
Well, you know, speaking of amazing stories, and, you know, you're focusing on the teaching aspect of being a professor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I also watched Disclosure, thought it was amazing, but I decided to go to the archive mm-hmm. and do some research on a topic because sometimes you just have that thirst. Yeah. So I decided to watch all of the Berkshire's episodes of Real Housewives of New York, not watching the seasons, just 7 through 10, they go. Mm-hmm. So just watching those episodes and, you know, seeing what patterns emerge. Yeah. What do we see year to year when taken out of context?
Wow.
If you're not familiar, Real Housewives of New York, for 4 years, every December, they went to the Berkshires and lost their minds on each other. They are known as the Berserkshires. That was a pun that was came up in the third year, and they loved it. They refer to it all the time. You may have heard the line, "I made it nice," that Dorinda screams. That originates from the second episode of the Berserkshires. Interesting fact. She originally says, "I did it nice."
Huh.
But then she says, "I made it nice," and that's what got repeated.
Oh.
And I didn't realize how much they're all actually just Bethany fights.
Wow.
Every single one is a huge Bethany fight.
Can I say, Caitlin, I need to hold us accountable for something.
Thank you.
In all of the years of our friendship, we have never gone to the Berkshires. And I think this holiday season, we got to go to the Berkshires.
This holiday season, that's when they go. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My gosh. I mean, it could be dangerous.
Well, I love to live dangerously, so.
Well, the thing is, friendships survive it because they keep going back.
Obviously. I'm here for it. I think we need to go and get berserk in the Berkshires.
I think it's a great idea. But you know what? We always stand is 5-star reviews. This review comes from Mandy 2394 or 2394. February 3rd, 1994. I don't know, Mandy, but I love it. She says, "This podcast is amazing. Lauren and Caitlin are truly the professors of pop culture. I find myself laughing out loud on my commute home. I love all the guests and the different pop culture themes each week. I definitely stand with Lauren and Caitlin."
Aw.
Thank you, Mandy.
We stand with you, Mandy.
That's so nice. And you know someone else we stand?
Today's guest.
I think so,
I think we absolutely stand our guest today. She's... I'm a huge stan. I'm so excited right now about who our guest is today. I kind of can't wait. So we should just go ahead and introduce her, right?
I think you're doing a great job.
Please welcome to the show, Lauren Lapkus.
Oh my gosh. Woo! Hi.
Hello.
That was going to be that moment where we find out neither of you know my name. And you're like, yeah. You do it. Mm. No, I think you got it. Like, no, I think you got it. I've actually had that fear, like hosting podcasts and doing like live shows where you have a guest that you're introducing. I'm like, I'm always afraid I'm just going to completely blank. And one time in Wild Horses, one of my teammates, and I won't throw her under the bus, did say the wrong name for the guest we were introducing as she came out.
Well,
We were just like, ah, and then she's like, I'll never do that. I'm never going to introduce again.
I accidentally, my friends were making fun of me because I do have a history of mispronouncing names. And I was officiating a friend's wedding and they were like, what are you going to do wrong? And I did at one point say the wrong name in the ceremony.
Oh, God.
I didn't pronounce it wrong. I just fully called her a different friend's name.
No. First name?
Yeah. Wow. I accidentally said the name of one of the girls that was doing a reading at one point.
Okay.
I bet everyone was really excited, though, when it happened. Just like...
I think secretly they were all like, we knew she'd fuck up. Yeah. We knew she would.
Oh, my gosh. The Ross's wedding on Friends to Emily, where he accidentally says Rachel, gave me huge paranoia for my own wedding. And really that I would say Rachel, not that I would say another man's name. Just
if you said Rachel, that would be like a viral video. Like it would just be...
I wish I
know.
It.
You could be huge online right now.
Darn it.
Well, today I'm so excited about our theme today. We're going to be talking about animation.
Yeah, cartoons of all varieties. Because Lauren Lapkus, our guest, has done tons of voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched a lot of them.
I have too.
I love doing cartoons. And it was like always a dream of mine to get to do voices in a cartoon. And it's like weirdly very hard to figure out how to get to do that. Like it's like you have to go. I think podcasting actually led to it for me. But
oh, that's interesting. No, that's exactly what I was going to ask. Like what... did you just get into it through auditions from your reps or like
for years I was getting auditions through my reps, but then I would never book anything. And it does seem very hard when you're just submitting like an audio file to strangers and they just are comparing you to people who are like amazing voice artists who can, and also people who've been proven like time and again as being amazing. So it's really hard to break in. But I do think like some of my first jobs came from doing Comedy Bang Bang and stuff, where the people writing the show knew me from one of those podcasts and would see if I wanted to audition or offer me the part for it sometimes. So that was really so much of it. But it's I truly still find it very challenging to get these roles because you're, for the most part, submitting from home, just recording by yourself. There's like no direction. And I mean, it probably isn't a great read most of the time because you don't know what they're looking for exactly.
Yeah, I would think it's so competitive just because whenever I look up like a really successful voice artist, like say Pamela Adlon, like in addition to doing Bobby Hill from King of the Hill, she'll also do like Vampire 3 on some show you've never heard of. And it's like, why did she audition for that?
I know.
And she took it.
Well, I worked on this show, Harvey Girls Forever, on Netflix. And I got, that was like my biggest voiceover role I've ever had. And it was so fun. But I got to work with some people who were really established, like Gray Griffin and Cree Summer, who are both, like, if you look up what they've done, they've done everything. And when
she was on A Different World, I've talked about her on this show.
And she also was like the voice of one of the Rugrats characters. Like she's like the green M&M. She like everything in between.
So she's sexy.
She's very sexy. And she truly like she and Gray like sitting there in a room with them as they like flip between voices or whatever. It's truly so impressive. It's such an amazing skill to be able to differentiate. She, Gray will have conversations as two characters talking to each other and you don't get confused at all. It's like they're perfectly clear who's who. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, here on the show, we always like to make you, the listener, feel like you're in good hands by sharing our credentials on the topic. Caitlin, what are your credentials? Obviously, Lauren has actually voiced animation, but Caitlin,
credits.
What are your credits?
Yes. Well, one piece of school supplies that I particularly remember loving and cherishing as a child, like second grade, was my Lisa Simpson pencil case and pencils, which is like almost too on the nose for someone who grows up to be a comedy writer. Like it's like a detail in my biopic, which we have been sort of slowly writing over the course of this podcast. I feel like that detail is almost, it's a little too much, but it's true.
Wow. Well, my credit today is that there is one of my family's favorite long running jokes is about how I have fallen asleep in, I think, every animated movie I've seen in a movie theater since about age 12.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, but it became a thing. Like, I'm 11 years older than my brother, and I started, one of the, like, first things I started doing with my little brother, like, for, like, brother-sister dates would be, like, take him to the movies. And without fail, every time I would fall asleep, and every time he'd come home just so exasperated and be like, she did it again! So yeah, I'm really good at falling asleep at animated movies. That's something special about me.
Is it something like you find them, is something with animated or just it's random, you think?
I think they just like calm me. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I think they like relax too hard.
Like I relate to that a little bit, but it's like kind of surprising for me because I love animated stories. Like I can name a bunch of movies that I think are so great. Like Big Hero 6, I think is fantastic. But then like Coco, I watched and I like have never finished it. But like everyone's like, it's the most amazing movie. And I was like enjoying it. But like, there's something about like sometimes watching them, I'm like, okay, like, I don't want to finish it right now. And then I just like never go back to it, even though I'm enjoying it. Like, it's just, it's so weird.
Yeah. Like I have a very distinct memory of going to see that movie Over the Hedge about like animals. Yeah. And it was in my brother. I remember my brother was so excited. He's like, you won't fall asleep because you love Ben Folds and it's all Ben Folds music in this movie. And it didn't help. I remember like my eyes, like I would fall asleep and then I'd wake up and then I fall. Like it was like, I don't know.
Side note about Ben Folds. I recently learned that he has a Patreon and he like teaches people how to write songs and will give notes on your song and like give you tips. And yeah, I'm very surprised by that, but he's very cool.
Whoa. I have no musical ability in my body, but I somehow want to take advantage of this.
I know.
You got to get in on that.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I don't.
I think it's time to play our first game. What do you think, Kate?
I'm into it. I'm into it, frankly.
So, Lauren, because we know that you were coming in hot with so many credentials, we have a little game today called U-Tune. Because congratulations, Lauren. You're a booker, and bookers get rewarded with green lights. And today, you've been greenlit to start a production on a brand spanking new cartoon series loosely inspired by your real-life college experience. Because we know that in addition to being a voice animated performer, you're also a college grad and an amazing improviser. So we want to take all of this and we're going to help you build your own animated series right now on air. And so we have a series of questions. And at the end of this, someone's going to produce it, I'm sure.
Great.
So the first question is, the cartoon series inspired by your true college experience, what would the title of the show be?
Hanging out with older people.
I'm already so into this. And what network do you think would pick up hanging out with older people?
I feel like it could be, it would have to be cable. It could be like Adult Swim or like HBO.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because there has to be room for like weird shit to go down.
Oh, wow. All right. So who is doing the theme song on this weird shit?
Oh, wow. Okay. The theme song, well, it would take place in Chicago. So I feel like maybe Kanye West.
Has he ever done anything like that?
Like an animated theme song or something? Or like anything?
Yeah,
he should. Song? I think that would be great.
It doesn't seem that far-fetched.
No. I feel like we could get him.
Perfect. Okay. So then what's the log line for this show?
The log line is, this is what happens when you do improv in college with adults who are all 25 or older.
All right. Okay. So introduce, who are the three main characters? Who's the probably the Lauren surrogate and two others?
Okay, so the Lauren character is like a 19-year-old, fairly naive person who is like confident, but to a point. And the other characters, one would have to be like an older guy from an improv class who's like a mentor.
Oh, gosh. Could go so many ways.
Yeah, yeah. And then the third character would be my best friend. My best friend, who I met through my improv classes, lived across the street in an apartment across the street from me. So he came over every day and like we didn't lock the door to our place. He just walked in and hung out and got high all the time on our couch when we didn't even know he was there. So that would be the third character.
I'm obsessed with all these characters. Can you give us like one line from each of the characters?
Yeah. Okay. So the Lauren character would say, wait, do you guys really still smoke weed? Like, you're like 25. And then the mentor character would be like, I just feel like you need to like be more vulnerable on stage. Like, you need to like share more about your personal experience.
Oh, no.
And then the neighbor character would be like, we're going to a party tonight. I don't really care if you want to go. There's a girl that's going to be there that I want to talk to.
Wow. The trailer is just cut together. Yeah. Pretty much.
And then the last question that we have to ask is, what roles could Kate and I play on this show?
Okay.
I think that, okay, here's the available roles. You can kind of pick what you're interested in.
Okay, thank you. We are offer only for this.
I feel like one of you should be like someone, either my roommate. I had two female roommates and they were like my close friends. And so one of you could be the roommate. And then the other one, I would say, should either work at like the video store that we went to all the time around the corner and rent DVDs. Wow. Or you work at the diner that we go to on the corner all the time as well. Melrose Diner, which was our hangout. Every night.
Wow.
I think I want to work at the video store like Pacey and Dawson
did. Yes. I mean, yeah, yeah. You could also, Kate, you could also work at the diner if you don't want to be my roommate. That's totally fair. I'm not offended.
I mean, I think it'd be fun to be your roommate, but maybe I'm like strangely older also.
My roommates were too.
Oh,
I knew it. I had a feeling. I had a
they
feeling.
Were all people I met through improv who were well out of college and stuff and like had moved to Chicago to do improv.
That is, I mean, first of all, congrats on the show.
Yeah, this was, I hope that I need to see this show. It sounds so fun.
I do sort of love it. Like you don't see, we talk about non-traditional learners a lot on this show, but you don't see the sort of opposite either of like 19-year-olds with like late 20s people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I learned a lot from them.
I also
probably the opposite. Too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. For sure.
I also, when I was younger, tended to have much older friends. In high school, in fact, I had a lot of friends that were much older. So much older that my freshman year roommate once saw the screensaver. Like my Mac would just sort of like make a screensaver out of my photos, mm-hmm. and she said, "Wow, you really party with your aunts a lot." And I said, "Those aren't my aunts."
That's amazing. Oh. But see, don't you feel like there's like something about like, I mean, thinking about who you were at that time and who I was at that time, like, I feel like it must have been kind of fun in a way for them to hang out with us because it's like, you're able to kind of shepherd this person, even if that I don't think that I felt I was unaware of life or like I needed guidance really, but like, there's like this natural thing that happens between people of different ages where like, they probably on some level were like, oh, she doesn't even know how to do this thing yet, or she's never even bought beer, or like,
yeah,
let's teach her, or like, whatever.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
thankfully was mostly used and for good funny. With the people that I knew. I wasn't interacting with people who took advantage of me. But
yeah, the age differences when you're younger, and I think especially in the improv and like sketch world, are so funny because people like when I was 24 that were 18, I still kind of look after, even though I have friends that are younger than them, mm-hmm. but I met them later. They're fine.
Right. Right. No, there's this feeling that when you establish the like relationship like that, like when you meet the person when they're younger, they're like always like that to you. It's hard to ever let them completely grow up.
It's well, and it's so. Yeah. And they also like today I'm a former student of mine. We're now working together on a project and we were in this chat today. And she said something, and then she was like, and I have to give credit. I learned that in Lauren's classroom. And I was like, we don't need to talk about how you met me in a classroom. Like, and I get that now. It's like, oh, yeah, we can just be people now. But like, they'll always be that thing. They'll just always be that thing. I don't know.
Well, did you ever have that with like a high school teacher or something like where you're even younger in that context? Like, and then you interact with them as an adult, like it's just it's very hard to come at them like you're just a person in the world. Like there's just this feeling of like, me when I was dumb.
People who have listened to this podcast know I still very actively text with my middle school, high school drama teacher, like on a too regular basis, probably.
I love that.
Shout out to Michael. I bet you're listening. So.
Hi, Michael.
Early on in Shelter in Place, I actually had him drop into a Zoom party I was hosting and was like, can people ask you questions? And it was very weird. But he's great. So, yeah. Yeah, I guess I've always been a boundary pusher.
So people are going to relate to this show. I'm so glad that we're all executive producing it. I'm so glad it's greenlit.
This is going to be so big for us. And animation is going to be really easy to do during COVID. So it's great.
Yeah. In 100 episode order. Let's get cracking.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break so that we can sign the paperwork to make sure this goes to air ASAP. We'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and we're back. The ink has dried on the contracts, and things are looking really good. I heard they just upped us to 150 episodes a season.
Oh, okay, good. Amazing. I have so many more stories to tell.
I had a couple extra ideas. Yeah.
I think that this sort of opens up a door for me to present my thesis today. I'm keeping things fairly simple today because when we decided that we were going to talk about animation, I knew exactly what I was going to talk about because there is a debate that I just don't think should be open to debate because it's just fact. And my thesis today is that cartoon characters can be hot. Like, you can be sexually attracted to cartoon characters, and there's nothing weird about it. And my evidence for this is that I Googled, can cartoon characters be sexually hot? And a lot of listicles came up. Like, a lot of people are thinking about this. A lot of people are writing about this. It's normal. It's very normal. So basically today, I just want to like normalize the crush that you know you still have on cartoon characters. I'll open up by confessing my three major cartoon crushes. My top three, the first one, I'm sure people at home are already saying this out loud because you've listened to this show before and you're like, she's going to say Trent from Daria. And you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. How do we feel about Trent from Daria? Hot or not?
Definitely hot. I think there's no question about it. I actually think Quinn is hot. I think there's a lot of cast members of Daria that are attractive.
Wow.
Yeah. It may be the hottest overall cast of cartoon characters.
I agree, but that one's hard for me because my whole life people have told me that I was like Jane, and then I always have to tell them, and my brother's name is Trent, which is a true fact.
Wow.
And so, you know, as the Jane, I have to just respect your opinion, but not.
Okay.
Jane is hot too. I think that's really funny though that you can't like him because he has the same name as your brother. He doesn't look like your brother though.
No, and I could, but it's funny because I've had to say that so many times. It's actually bizarre how
much. Well, I'm glad I could bring it up for you one more time. And I agree. I totally agree. Trent is just one of many hot characters from Daria. My second major crush growing up was Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
He's hot. He's just, like, hot. He's just hot. And then my third major crush was Li Shang from Mulan.
Yeah.
I love him. I loved him then. I love him now. And my theory is part of what makes cartoons hot are that they're, like, truly, truly the safest crush you can have. Right?
Right.
Like, there's nothing. Is there anything safer than having a crush on a cartoon?
Yeah, because it's even better than a fictional character on a TV show, because the actor could do something problematic, or there's like you could end up meeting them and it could get they could be rude or something. Like, maybe I feel like with a cartoon, like, it's just, it exists solely in your mind. It's just pleasant, and they have like a limited amount of places you can see them. Like, you can't see them on a red carpet looking worse or something.
Totally. Right. And there's also this thing, I think part of, too, at least growing up in our generation, that like the person voicing the cartoon and the cartoon are so divorced from each other. Because think about how many times like a cartoon movie got turned into an animated series and they're not voiced by the same person, right? Like,
oh yeah, still, that's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like we just like learn to accept that like it's not really about the person voicing it. Like the cartoon itself is its own entity.
I agree, but when Arthur had a new voice, it fucked shit up for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Arthur and I think Buster also got new voices at some point during that, and I got really disappointed, and it just wasn't the same, you know? Also, that was the first show where I learned, like, I got obsessed with this. This is I don't even know if I've talked about this. This is, there's a, okay, the baby Kate in Arthur. Did you watch Arthur? Am I talking to people who don't care about Arthur? Okay.
Yeah.
Baby Kate had a cry that she would do, and it was the same every time, and it drove me nuts. And I was like, what? And then I would start hearing it in other shows, and it's basically like the Wilhelm scream, but this, it's a cry, and you will hear it on with like baby actors, like real people. The cry will be identical, and I could predict it. I hear the beginning and I know exactly how it's going to like rise and fall. It's so annoying. I hate this in my head, but yeah.
So I'm curious. I have a couple of questions that I want to pick both your brains on about this topic about cartoons being hot. The first one is, what are your cartoon crushes? Like, when I say cartoon crush, who comes to mind first and foremost?
Well, I feel like someone says this on Twitter like every other week, but the animated Robin Hood that's a fox.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay, I'm so glad you said this, because all of mine are animals, basically. And so I just needed it to cross over into that territory. I'm really glad.
Okay. I feel that. Okay, so the animated fox, who else?
For me, I love Michelangelo the turtle.
Lapkus, we, you know, when we were single, we should have hit the town, because we had the same taste in men, because I wanted to say the turtles. Yeah. I didn't know they're hot. That was going to be accepted.
They're ripped. They're cool. You know, Michelangelo is a party dude, which is the personality I'm most driven to, but most drawn to. But at the same time, like, the other ones probably have better qualities for a relationship. But yeah.
I mean, you're going to be dating all of them.
Yeah. That's true. It's a package
deal.
That's
just how it's going to work. You know what's funny is all the characters we're talking about too have like a masculine edge, but there's none of the toxic masculinity.
Yes.
Maybe Li Shang, but
yeah, Li Shang's a
little fun. They embody like a lot of positive things about masculinity that, you know, non-cartoon characters just don't.
Yeah. That is true. What about Jessica Rabbit? I mean, that's a classic.
Classic.
Beautiful.
I recently rewatched that movie, and she's literally very hot, and it's crazy.
She's so hot.
Yeah.
Did it hold up?
It did. It had a lot that I liked and I thought was pretty fun, but I don't know that I'd watch it again, but it was worth a rewatch. I hadn't seen it since I was little, so.
I haven't watched it. I don't know when the last time I saw it was, but I remember being very scared as a kid watching it.
Me too, yes. And it is scary. There's a guy who's trying to kill them all, the cartoon. So it is scary inherently, but right. Yeah.
I saw that was Eddie Murphy's one regret in his career, is that he turned down.
Oh, I was like, what did he do in it? nothing. That's the regret. Wow. No.
What role was he up for?
The Bob Hoskins role.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, there aren't many roles where both of them have been considered.
that would have been so good.
That would have been such a different movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. I don't know why I was like, was he going to voice Roger Rabbit?
That's not crazy. I mean, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Bob. Wow. My mind just got blown.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. And how can we talk about hot cartoon characters without me bringing up the Opposites Attract video?
I was wondering if you were going to bring
that
up.
Oh, wow. What? Wait, that is that Paula Abdul? That,
yep.
And yes, she dances
DJ
with
DJ Scat Cat.
That's great.
So that I'm glad that both of your lists were so robust with animals, because that has always been one thing. I fully embrace that cartoons can be hot, but I've always wondered, like, what is it? What's the deal with us and thinking cartoon animals are hot? Like, how do we unpack that? Like, that's, I'm all on board and I want to normalize the fact that we can be attracted mm-hmm. to cartoons, but it does get stuck in my brain sometimes when I'm like, wow, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are hot. And I know it's okay, but like, what is happening?
I feel like it comes from like when you watch things as a kid and you're slowly developing your sexual identity as you grow up. There's like these, I mean, this is my experience, I guess, but there's these like feelings you get watching a cartoon where you're like, ah, and like it feels good. Like you're like excited about them. And that kind of starts to become a crush, or that's how you like start to define it as you figure out what that means. But like with Prince Eric, it feels so clear what happened there. Like it's like, I pretended I was Ariel all the time, just in my living room. And you have this image of this person who looks like a guy and he's like rescuing her and it's like amazing and blah, blah, blah. And like, it just feels like very like, of course you would think that was hot. It does get a little more confusing with animals, but.
but your point about it being like, you're like in the developmental stage of you're just like, oh, I just really like this thing. And like, you're trying to figure out the difference. That does raise a question. Have you ever thought a cartoon was hot that you didn't meet when you were a kid? Like as an adult, do you ever watch a cartoon for the first time? Because I can't, all of mine are from childhood. Like all of the ones that I'm like, oh, that's a hot cartoon. Like I don't know that I've
seen drawings that I think are hot.
Yes. Okay.
Like anime or like that type of like, there's like that sort of pornographic twist on cartoons, but that brings it more to porn, which feels like a different less of a thing. Leap. But like, have you ever seen the like porn of The Simpsons? It makes me sick.
No. No.
It's honestly so disturbing. Like there's people who just draw them all fucking each other and stuff. And it's like, it's really, really, really weird.
I swear, I truly think like the ability to draw is one of the strangest things in human history, because why are some people good at it? Like
I know
I could never do it and they can do it. But then what they choose to do with it is psychotic. And like it's a superpower they use for bad.
That is so true. Like the ability to draw is such a weird, it's kind of on the same page as like singing. Like, so you can do that? Like I have the same things. I have a hand and a pen, or I have a voice. I can't do what you're doing. And I don't understand how this is happening.
Yeah.
Magic.
It is magic.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for help for being on my side. I think we're all in agreement. It's okay to have a crush on a cartoon.
Yes.
They are hot. And now I feel like I have a little bit of a better understanding of why.
One last thing about that.
Yeah.
With Gray Griffin, she voices Catwoman, I think, or one of these characters in one of these series. And I have seen her post videos for people, like fans, sort of like cameos and stuff like that, where she does like the sexy voices and people like love that. So I think there's something to that too. Like some of those characters, like superhero characters, I bet you there's a lot of people who are really attracted to them.
And I bet you those same people love ASMR.
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably not a crossover.
Well,
probably something.
Rickman, thank you. And especially thank you for the part where you said it's not weird. And you just, it was a declarative statement.
Yep, it's just not weird.
Yeah.
And I just want anyone that was sitting there thinking like, is it weird to go, be confident and own the fact that it's just not. It's okay. It's totally normal. Awesome. Well, Lauren, you want to play another game?
Yes.
All right. I'm so excited about this. So we're going to take a little bit of a break from cartoons because I was just so excited to have another Lauren on the show that I couldn't ignore the fact that we have another Lauren. And I also just recently saw your Netflix film, which has inspired today's game.
Oh, okay, great.
Lauren, in your new movie, The Wrong Missy, chaos ensues when Tim, played by David Spade, accidentally texts the wrong woman named Missy, ends up with a kooky character who he went on one date with instead of the woman of his dreams on this island vacation.
I think kooky character was like the nicest description of that that I've heard. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Not in it.
So I thought we'd play a little game today called The Wrong Lauren. So there are a lot of us in the world, particularly in the entertainment industry. So today we're going to imagine that someone has accidentally texted the wrong Lauren and we have to figure out which Lauren it is.
I love this.
I have a series of clips from famous Laurens, and we're going to play you a clip, and then you're going to have to guess which Lauren we accidentally texted. And spoiler alert, I was going to sneak a clip of myself in, but it felt wrong. So
okay, good to know that's off the table.
None of the Laurens are me.
Okay.
All right, so let's play the first clip.
It's the girl, Steve.
Who was what girl?
The one who left you with such a high opinion of women.
Lauren Bacall.
Yes! Wow. Amazing.
My grandma always called me that when I was little.
Aww. One of the most elegant Laurens.
She is. I think maybe the most.
Allegedly, according to my Google search, she's the most famous Lauren. So,
God damn it.
Yeah,
allegedly. Well, let's hear this next famous Lauren.
Okay.
Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers.
Lauryn Hill, of course.
Yes, Lauryn Hill from Sister Act 2. You can't have a list of Laurens and not have Lauryn Hill. All right. So far, you're 2 for 2. Let's keep going and see if we can keep the perfect streak.
If you want to apologize to me, I'll talk to you. Well, you know that I didn't do anything, so having your boyfriend do your dirty work doesn't make you innocent.
My dirty work? I don't have anything to do with it. Your sex tape and whatever has nothing to do with me.
Lauren from the Hills?
Yes!
What is her last name? I can't think of it right now.
Conrad.
Thank you. I know it was a C. Yes.
And she was, her best friend Lo was also a Lauren.
Yes.
So she was part of a Lauren multiverse.
Yes.
Wow.
All right. We're 3 for 3. Let's see if we can keep this hot streak going.
The red stuff.
You love the new kids.
Oh, the acid wash jeans.
Yeah, with the built-in rips. You were a fashion victim from the womb.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've gotten better since then.
Yeah, if you need to fit a family of 5 in your pants.
Lauren Ambrose.
Yeah,
I just watched that movie again the other night. It was such a fun watch. Can't hardly wait. So good.
I love that movie, and I love her in that movie. She was like, she was goals for me when I was
a
teenager.
She's amazing. Have you seen Servant on Apple TV?
No, I need
to. She's really, really good on that. And she, also, I just, like last year, I watched all of 6 Feet Under, and she's incredible. I was so late to that, but she's so good.
She's so good. And can't hardly wait. Also, if you can ever get your hands on, it was a book first, and the novelization is so great because in the book, the girl who's throwing the party gets drunker and drunker, and they have like footnotes so that you can understand what she's saying. It was so
funny. That's really funny.
Yeah, it's a great read.
That's cool.
I went to Paris around the time that movie came out, and in France it's called Big Party, but in English it's called Big Party.
Gets right to the point.
That is wild. All right, we got 2 more to go. Okay. So far you're 4 for 4. Let's see if you get this one.
Peggy Hill, what's so important I have to jump off treadmill?
Oh, I am so sorry, man, but I had to talk to someone. It's about Nancy. She's having an affair.
Oh, my God. She's cheating on John Redcorn?
You know about them?
Oh, not at first. It took me about an hour. But I'm a naive and trusting person. Peggy Hill, you not know?
Well, I knew.
Peggy Hill not know? That is so funny. Okay, who I tell? Who I tell? Oh, I email Khan.
Okay, so was that from King of the Hill?
Yes, it is.
I don't know who it was.
It was the character of Min.
I don't know who played that.
She's an incredible actress. Her name is Lauren Tom, and she...
Oh, yeah. It's so funny with the name Lauren because you kind of do know who all other Laurens are, weirdly. Like, you've, like, seen them all.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I've always loved Lauren Tom. I... Lauren Tom first came on my radar because she was on Friends. She played one of Ross's girlfriends.
Yes.
And then she was also in Joy Luck Club. So, like, I think of her as, like, a 90s icon. I hadn't realized that she was doing so much animation. She has voiced, like she did Amy Wong and a bunch of other characters on Futurama. And she did a bunch of, like, superhero shows. Like, she's done so much voiceover work. It's amazing.
That is awesome.
Anyways, all right. Lauren Tom, that's kind of a deep cut. So far you're 4 for 5. You got one more. Okay. I'm excited for this last one to see if you can recognize the voice.
Now the party don't start till I walk in. Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up. Tonight, I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick tock on the clock, but the party don't stop. No, oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up. Tonight, I'ma fight till we see the sunlight.
Is this like, okay, so it sounded like karaoke. Am I wrong?
Should be noted to the listener that Lauren Brickman is crying.
Okay, wait. So I want to try to guess. I want to try to narrow that down, even though I have no idea. Yeah. Is it from a reality show?
It is not from a reality show.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I didn't know this existed until I was prepping for today's show, and it just delighted me when I found it.
Okay, my other guess.
It's from a scripted series.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's from a scripted show.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
It's from a scripted show that premiered this past spring.
Okay.
It's a musical show on a major network. This is a very famous Lauren who has done a lot of television, but you probably have maybe seen her sing once before on TV.
Oh my God. So I can think of Lauren Holly, but I don't feel like that's who it is. I'm trying to think of other Laurens. I feel I'm at a loss. I don't know if I don't think I'm going to get it. Out, though.
All right. It's Lauren Graham on that new TV show.
What? Oh Zoe's my God. Yes. On Zoe's Extraordinary. Yes. I should have gotten that because I watched a bunch of that. I should have gotten that. Now I'm mad. I really should have gotten that.
I want to write an oral history of this question because, like, I knew it was Lauren Graham because it's on this piece of paper that I look at, but I didn't know what clip Brickman had pulled. And I was like,
yeah, that is so weird. That show is so interesting with the way they break into song because there's a complicated sort of element to it where, like, only Zoe knows that they're singing, but they express mm-hmm. their feelings this way, but then they are like, it's as if they haven't been singing, so they just kind of like start singing out of nowhere and then go back to like normal. It's very fun to watch. But Lauren Graham, amazing. Love her.
I just couldn't help myself when I found this clip and was like, it's going in. I don't know why. Especially because, like, at the beginning of the clip, they're, like, keeping beat by clinking their glasses. It's such a, like, interesting sound. I don't know. Huge fan of Lauren Graham's. Huge fan of all of these Laurens. Lauren Lapkus, 4 out of 6 ain't bad. That's great. That's great.
I feel pretty good about that.
I feel great about that. There's thousands of Laurens, so
yeah, and I can only think of Lauren Holly. Isn't that amazing? It's like there's a million Laurens, and I can only think of one when the time comes.
Just Lauren Holly.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, amazing. Thank you so much for playing the wrong Lauren.
That was very fun. It's a very cute game.
Thank you so much.
Yay. We play it every week.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. And yep, it is. It's probably the thing people complain about the most when they listen to the show.
While we narrow down the things people complain about on this show, we're going to take a quick break. Together. Welcome back. We are just all Rolodexing every Lauren we know. So I have a thesis that's more, I'm on this research tip, this archival moment. I don't know. It's more of just letting you guys in on a short bibliography for my brain. And these are episodes of cartoons that broke the mold and that have stayed with me. I think about them a lot. Like, they legitimately influenced mm-hmm. me as a writer and comedian. And then, of course, I found out they are all from the year 2000. Every single one.
Whoa!
And, like, of course. But talk about, like, getting crushes during formative years and creative ones as well. So the first one is from The Simpsons, and it's called Behind the Laughter, which was their Behind the Music parody episode. Which, ooh. I don't know, we've talked before on the show about, like, life before the true internet as we know it, and mm-hmm. there was something about this episode that honestly made me feel, like, less alone in the world. Like, I was like, oh, it's cool, like, cool people who make The Simpsons are watching Shania Twain's Behind the Music like I am too.
Yes.
Like, I am reaching out to people. And it's such a well-done episode, like all Simpsons episodes, but they use the VH1 graphics package. They have the narrator, Jim Forbes, do it. And the mm-hmm. conceit is that The Simpsons is a sitcom, so we're sort of following them on their rise to stardom. So it really validated me as a pop culture nerd. It also, as a tidbit, mm-hmm. has the, it ends, the original airing of the episode ended with, the future looks brighter than ever for this Northern Kentucky family, which it was never known where the Simpsons took place. So that was like
weird.
A bomb drop.
Oh, wild.
But I feel like that's not like canon. Like, I feel like people don't.
It's not, because they changed it. They have multiple endings. Like, oh. They had three scheduled airings of the original series, like whatever, you know, it's first date. A natural one during the summer, and they had different ones for each one. They had Southern Illinois, they had an island, and then there's something different on the DVDs. So it's not consistent, but it felt crazy when I first saw it.
That is crazy.
I've always thought it was Michigan. I don't know why.
I always thought it was Illinois because I'm from Illinois and there's a Springfield, Illinois. So it always just felt like that. But even what you said, you just said Kentucky, and I was like, I can't accept them being in Kentucky. Like, there's no reason why. I'm just like, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I think there's something. I mean, I think I assumed Springfield, Illinois as well, but they're obviously, they want to keep it nonspecific. Like, they have Capital City is the capital of their state. But that episode, I think, is just, like, super important to me. I loved that, like, they used the graphics in a way that was, like, completely, like, no one was doing that at the time. Like, if you remember, Behind the Music had the flashing, like, drugs, stardom. And for The Simpsons, Behind the Laughter, one of them is just Milhouse. So that's one. The second one is an episode of the Powerpuff Girls called Mime for a Change, in which a clown named Mr. Rainbow, I forget what happens. For some reason, he goes evil. And he makes Townsville black and white. And Bubbles, the character of the three that is, like, the sweetest one, the cutest one, like, freaks out, which I think it's, this is the one that's, like, aimed more at children, though I love it as well. And it was cool from, a children's programming sense to see the one that is the most affable get the most upset, and like how situational that is was done really well. And also she tries, the animation style kind of changes in this one. She tries to color in things with crayon. So,
oh, cute.
Yeah. Including her sisters, Buttercup and Blossom. And so it just looked different. And I think that's so amazing, because like part of animation, like, to go the extra mile when you already have probably all the backgrounds drawn, I really respect. Because it would be easy not to. And this is also the one where they, I forget exactly logically how this makes sense, but they cure the colorless world with their song, Love Makes the World Go Round.
Aww.
I don't remember the exact link between the song and why we got color back, but sure. And the third one is a very short-lived show. It was Clerks the Animated Series. I don't know if you guys remember this existed. Yeah.
Vaguely, yes.
I do.
It only had about a dozen episodes. It was originally on ABC, which couldn't have been a worse fit.
Yeah.
It was canceled after two episodes. but you could see it on DVD. But it's, for those that don't know, the Kevin Smith movie Clerks made into an animated series. And
isn't that crazy when they cancel something after two episodes and you're like, you already have it all ready to go. Like, just air it. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't understand the thought behind that. Yeah. That's always broken my brain.
It makes no sense. Though it has, like, it doesn't fit with ABC's programming at all. Right. Like, it was a bad decision to start with. But why I love this episode, which is the second episode, which did air, and it's called The Clip Show, wherein Dante and Randall are locked in the freezer and remember some of the great moments in their lives. So the second episode is a clip show about the first episode and parts of the second episode.
That's brilliant. I actually really love that.
And I was so charmed by that. And again, I think it's this feeling of like, I was obsessed with Golden Girls, which like every four episodes by the end, they were doing a clip show. And it just felt like, I don't know, these shows more than live action shows spoke to like me as like the little aspiring funny person of like, your instincts are right. Like the things you're noticing in the world, we're noticing too. And like, that's like the best kind of laughter, I think. So I appreciate those three episodes and all of the series.
In terms of like seeing like your humor validated in a cartoon, for me, that was always Animaniacs.
Yeah.
I was going to say Animaniacs. Yeah. I was thinking that while you were like, talking, because that show was so funny. It had so many different like levels that it went to, and also like taught you stuff. And spoiler alert, I got to be in an episode of that. It's coming back. And I got to like voice a character. And I got to work with the guy who played Yakko. And it was amazing. Like, it was just like, I truly was like so excited to watch. I was in the room watching him do the voice. Like, it was awesome.
Wow. It was very
cool. That's so cool.
It was really cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I want a Freaky Friday. I want to go back in time in Freaky Friday and get to see part of that day from you. Which is totally creepy, but it's how
I feel. There's another one. I actually have not seen it, and I know some of our listeners will come for me. I'm just like a little too old, but I think Gargoyles is the same thing. Like,
okay, I never watched that. Yeah. I feel like it always came on after Animaniacs, and I'd be like, this looks boring.
I
liked Gargoyles, but it never grabbed me like Animaniacs. Yeah, but
people
did.
Have that same thing for Gargoyles.
Totally.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think people talk about Gargoyles much at all.
You know what? We're trying to open the discussion.
Caitlin just wants to save space for room. For
and I mean, I'm saying like, I feel like, yeah, that show was always on, yet how come it doesn't come up? Like, it's like, it feels like that was like one of the ones we should be referencing when we talk about all these shows. Like, I did a full podcast about nostalgia and I don't think it came up once.
It's so funny. I'm not like a huge cartoon watcher, but for my birthday back in November, my friend got me a year subscription to the Disney Plus, in large part because we were all promised a Lizzie McGuire reboot that is not apparently going to happen. But I've almost exclusively used it to watch animated series. Like the first thing I watched was The Gummy Bears.
Oh, I love
it. Great theme song.
It's so fun. That show's so fun. And then I remembered like Disney Plus has reminded me that like I cared a lot more about cartoons and animation than I like think I did. They just like they were shows that don't often get talked about. So I don't often like get to remember how much I hear like Smurfs.
Yes.
I was all about Smurfs. I was all about Strawberry Shortcake, Rainbow Bright.
On that note, on Strawberry Shortcake, I want to alert you guys to this Instagram at Out of Thin Air. The woman who created Strawberry Shortcake and Care Bears is now a fun old lady. She does dances on Instagram and also has been doing sketches and selling them of the Care Bears and Strawberry Shortcake characters saying like Black Lives Matter and stuff.
That's awesome.
And
that's so cute.
Yeah. And unfortunately, she doesn't own the copyright, which she goes into, so she gets shut down.
Do you think, she got shut down for doing that? That's such a like,
asked her to like take down her stuff from like Redbubble or wherever she was selling it.
Oh. Do you think her handle is Out of Thin Air because she created all of those characters out of thin air?
Yes.
Probably.
I like that.
Are there any other cartoons that, like, as we've been talking about, like, are getting rattled in your brain? You're like, oh, I'd forgotten about, like, any other cartoons that you're like...
I mean, I often think about Rugrats and Rocko's Modern Life and Doug. Doug is a really sweet cartoon.
Yeah, Doug is great.
Doug's a great rewatch. I actually have been doing a Doug rewatch during Shelter in Place, off and on.
That's a good one. I had a crush on this guy in middle school, and I called him Doug as my code name for him because he looked like Doug.
Oh, Doug's funny.
Yeah.
I love it.
Also, that reminds me that one time I had made my AOL password his real name, like with some, like, I love whatever. I'm not going to say it. And just on the off chance that anyone out there would figure out who it is. And I typed it, like, into the wrong bar, and my friend saw my password.
Oh my gosh.
It was so embarrassing. It was horrible. I was so humiliated.
It was very bad. God.
Yeah.
I find it embarrassing when someone sees my password, and it's never like a secret thing.
Right.
But it just will be like, I don't know.
Just say it. Just say all your
passwords. Yeah. So all of my passwords are.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just like Dr. Pepper 31 or something, someone just being like, wow, you love Dr. Pepper. It's like, well, I just had to think of something. Like,
I know, it's so weird because it's like, when if you were to see someone else's, you're like, you type that every day?
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, it seems to carry some weight, but...
Well, here's the thing. You'd think I would learn from this, but, like, I never do because occasionally we've had podcast guests who will, like, use our Instagram to, like, help us promote the show, and they always comment on the password I choose, and yet every time I've updated the password, I don't learn from my mistake. I just keep leaving the door open for ridicule.
That's well, I and, really want to know what it is, but I respect you not sharing it publicly.
Yeah, I'll let you. Off my phone. Well, this has been so much fun.
I've had the best time. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Now that our stan Lauren Lapkus, where can they find you?
You can find me at Lauren Lapkus on Twitter and Instagram, and I have a Patreon, patreon.com/LaurenLapkus. You can follow, and I do a lot of, like, improv, and I do watch-alongs to movies and TV shows on there, too, and lots of stuff we've been talking about today is relevant. I did a watch-along for Roger Rabbit on there.
Ooh.
You can sync me up and hear the commentary. And yeah, it's a fun time. And then beyond that, I guess watch The Wrong Missy and, I don't know, have fun if you can.
Lauren Lapkus makes money off of you having fun. She's royalties.
Unfortunately, Netflix doesn't work that way. So, but I would love for you to still watch it. I think it's a fun time.
Absolutely. So good.
So fun. It's so fun.
You can find us at We Stand Social across all of the networks.
All of the social networks. And please email us, westandsocial@gmail.com. Let us know what topics you want us to dive into. Let us know if you've got a stan that you want us to stan. We want to hear from you, our long distance learners. This has been so much fun. We're going to wrap this up, though, because I want to go turn on my AC and watch some Gummy Bears.
Thank you.